fucking lose this game! We're gonna fucking lose this game! I hate Nicky Cowboy! I hate Nicky Cowboy! Wait, he's smiling! He wasn't smiling before! He's smiling! Where's he going to go out there? You go! I wanna raid you like I should!
Oh, here come the injured! Everyone's hurt, it's only February 27th, and they're all down again. They're falling apart in spring training. Did they hire Ray Ramirez? It seems that everyone's hurt, it's again. Nobody's gonna play. Welcome aboard.
Was that from like that? Was that the show song Downtown?
No, that's the theme of the New York Yankees.
Okay.
Well, Frank, it's good to be back with you this week for another episode of Allow Me to Be Frank. Of course, we welcome a good friend of the show now. This is the second time on with you, Frank, on your podcast. Fred Siegel, better known as Freezing Cold Takes on Twitter and Instagram. He's got the biggest account on social media for exposing all of everybody's poor sports takes. Fred, thanks a lot for being here, and couldn't have picked a better night with, you know, obviously all the injuries going down the past couple of days with the Yankees, as Frank was referencing. It's been some crazy stuff. Now, first it was Luis Severino yesterday, and now Giancarlo Stanton's the latest Yankee to go down today.
Giancarlo Stanton, you know that video of that teacher walking into class? The same every day? Yeah.
Hello.
That's Giancarlo Stanton going on the disabled list.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm a South Florida guy, and I follow the Marlins. I definitely track the Marlins of all the Major League Baseball teams. You know, I'm a big Marlins fan, and Giancarlo Stanton was never fully healthy with us. So. I don't know why they paid him all that. They want to take his contract, but
I mean, when you calculate it, he's basically getting $1 million a game because he rarely plays.
Yeah, I mean, that was one thing too. Like, we're Fred, we're me and Frank obviously are big Mets guys. You're a Marlins fan. All those years, like, yes, Giancarlo Stanton would hit, you know, at least like 35 homers a year, and he would play really well, but he'd always get injured at some point in the season.
Yeah, but at least he played 100 games.
He was always injured. He was a good guy. I mean, they paid him a lot of money in Miami because they wanted to like show their commitment at that time. And but you know, I as a baseball, I'm not really that I'm not that into like studying the depth of baseball in terms of like the analytics and what certain things mean. But I always remembered Stanton. He just struck out so much, and they already had Judge there, and he strikes out a lot. It's just a lot of strikeouts to be like leaving on the field. Stanton especially would strike out so much.
I think we're looking at a ALCS A's versus Rays in the ugliest state, in the battle of the ugliest stadiums in the world.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing about the Yankees is they do always find, you know, they always find a way. Like last year they were, you know, ravished by injuries and they still managed to win 103 games for only the second time in 10 years. I mean, they're going to need a lot of great performances again. On the bright side, I mean, they were without Severino basically the entire year last year, minus 12 games, and they didn't have Gerrit Cole. So now they have Gerrit Cole, and they're going to be missing James Paxton for the first couple months and no Severino for over a year plus, but at least they went out and got Cole. I mean, what a disaster it'd be if they didn't, you know, if they didn't go
well,
get
there. Well, yeah, you know, Aaron Judge is still not able to play.
Yeah. Fred, I'm just wondering, like, do you have these receipts down, like how many people were anointing the Yankees the AL champs and World Series champs already after they got Cole? Like, do you have a file for that?
No, that's kind of a myth. Yeah, you know, I'll kind of look those up as like when something happens. So if the Yankees lose, it's much easier. It's much easier with baseball. You have a lot of time to prepare for it. So if the Yankees are on the brink of somehow not even making the playoffs, you're kind of abreast of it. you have a lot of time to prepare for it. And if they're in a series, a championship series, like they have to lose three games before they can lose four. So once they lose a third, you kind of like prepare everything. Yeah. You could, but yeah, I could search him up. You just, like, you find the date that Cole made. They signed Cole, and you kind of look that up. You look up search terms related to that.
It was the week I was in St. Martin from December 7th to the 14th. So I'm pretty sure it was either on the 10th or the 11th. It was like halfway through my vacation, the signing happened.
Yeah. You could find the dates easy, you know, and you could just mess with it at that time. So, yeah, I don't really, you know, it would take a lot of time to, every time you see something, you know, kind of just plug it in to like a file or something like that. I don't really do that. I pretend like I do, but it's kind of a joke. And then the fact that people believe that, there's a lot of people who do believe it, just pure thought that it's a jinx. But other people will just tag me to all the stuff anyway. Right, like anything happens with the Yankees, I'll get tagged to all this stuff. All that stuff.
How about the speaking players that are always injured and teams that have fallen apart? The Brooklyn Nets losing tonight to the Washington Wizards. And, of course, Kyrie Irving. I don't want to play today.
He's sore. He's out for the year.
Money for nothing is the way I roll.
Fascinating character.
Look at that. Kyrie. I got a little blister on my toe. I'm gonna miss the next 3 or 4. I mean, I think if Kyrie Irving got a paper cut, he'd miss a month.
Did you guys hear what Kendrick Perkins, now he goes on Joe and Evan every week on the midday weekly spot on WFAN, but he makes a living in sports media now and broadcasting out of bashing Kyrie Irving. He was on Joe and Evan yesterday, and he actually questioned whether Kyrie actually could play or not through a shoulder injury. And he said that if it was Kevin Durant in Kyrie's shoes, that Kevin Durant would be playing right now.
I've never taken Kevin Durant as somebody who was who shied away from that kind of thing.
I mean, Kevin Durant had the Achilles injury. Who knows how he's going to be when he returns next year? But I have a feeling every night that Kyrie Irving was thinking about Kevin Durant in street clothes getting a free year, and was thinking the same thing.
I think Kyrie just realized, like, hey, all right, we're not going anywhere this year, you know, without KD. And once KD comes back, we're actually going to be legit contenders. So, you know what? Like, I'm banged up. Like, let me get the surgery and be ready for next year. And you hope that he actually is on the court next year. And same with KD. And if those two are healthy and performing the way that they're capable of, then the Nets are going to be a serious contender coming out of the East.
I mean, right now, there's only like 3 or 4 teams that could really win in the NBA. There are only like 3 or 4 legitimate teams.
Lakers, Clippers, Raptors, Milwaukee.
I'm not sure if I buy the Raptors without Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah, I mean, they're having a great year, though. I mean, they got beat last night by the Bucks, but the Raptors have played really well.
I think there's a possibility that the Sixers could sneak up in there.
If they're
healthy. The Sixers are such a weird team.
They're not really, like, they're inconsistent, and they're, you know, Ben Simmons is kind of inconsistent. And
he's out for a long time now. And then Embiid just got hurt tonight.
Yeah.
Deal with him, so.
They're unreliable, and, like, since losing Jimmy Butler, losing J.J. Redick, Brett Brown is under a bunch of criticism. The Sixers are going to be in the playoffs, and they'll probably either first round early exit or second round.
Which means they'll have a new coach next year.
Yeah, that's what all signs are pointing to right now.
Yeah, I think Brett Brown. I think Brett Brown. The heat is on. Heat is on for him. And I just think I think the Bucks are just gonna just roll through the East this year. I can't see anybody else in the NBA Finals besides Milwaukee.
Well, did you guys, Fred? Make sure you write that one down. Frank's one of the bigger mushes, as I'm sure you got. Like,
well, I mean, he doesn't try to do it purposely with the Mets.
Yeah. Well, yeah. No. As soon as Frank actually starts going on his tweeting rants about the Mets, though, usually good things have happened.
We saw today that Ed Luis Diaz is still terrible. I think we're going to see this year with Ed Luis Diaz. I think you're going to hear this. Every game he comes in, he'll blow. He'll blow. I think he'll have zero saves, about 50 blown saves, and 42 losses.
What's his ERA?
An ERA over 89 ERA.
Oh, Jesus. I mean, yeah.
And Jacob DeGrom will go 0-7 with an ERA of 0.92.
I mean, yeah, today on the bright side, at least Syndergaard looked good in the two innings he pitched and got a couple strikeouts. He looked sharp.
I mean, you don't even need the garbage cans or the buzzards. And Luis Diaz tells you what's coming.
Yeah, it was like the same thing. Like, looked the same thing like last year, to where, yes, his slider looked good, Edwin Diaz, which was a problem last year. But he gets a lot of swings and misses, but then he also gets knocked around. Like, gives up a lot of hard contact.
The Mets had this guy making his return Sunday from Tommy John surgery. He actually was up in 2018, and he throws 100 miles per hour. But he throws it just perfectly, like a T. And the balls just go, whee! I'm talking about Francis killing me. And he came in and he gave up a double and a homer the first two pitches he threw.
Today? On
Sunday.
Oh, on Sunday? Yeah, I didn't actually watch him pitch. They got him from the Phillies when they traded Struble Cabrera in 2018. And then he got Tommy John last year.
And every pitch he throws, it just gets hit hard.
Yeah.
I should catch him. Yeah. I mean, the spring training's right by me. I should catch him. I live in Palm Beach, and I got like 10 minutes away. There's all these spring training games.
Well, yeah, in Palm Beach, that's where the Astros and Nationals train, actually, I believe.
Yeah. Fit Team Park. Yeah, it's a nice stadium over in West Palm. And the Jupiter's like 20-30 minutes from me. It's north, and that's where the Marlins are.
You ever get out there?
No. I know. I was there 2 years ago. I went one time to the Astros spring training. But
so basically, yeah, basically the Marlins are the only team that goes south for the regular season.
Yeah, it's true.
Frank, did you see J.D. Davis got his MRI on his shoulder today?
Yeah.
And they said no structural damage, but that they
see
found...
See him in September.
Well, did you know what happened? Did you know that they found an old labrum tear in his shoulder that he had no idea he had? They said he's going to be fine, but still, like, that's kind of concerning.
Yep. As I said, we won't see him till September.
And then Nimmo was scratched today because he had to get heart testing.
Yep. So I guess the opening day outfield is going to be John Mayberry Jr., Alejandro Deaza, and Tim Tebow at this point.
Oh, God.
Yeah, Tebow.
Tebow went Oppo Taco yesterday, though.
Tim Tebow accidentally hits a home run like once every 2 weeks, but he's like a 114 hitter.
Fred, how many takes were there about Tebow, do you think, that you tweeted out over the years, like when he was still in the NFL?
A lot for the NFL. Like, well, no, but really in the draft, like coming into the draft, he was, I mean, there were people who just believed in him no matter what, but like when he came into the draft, there were some people believed him. A lot of people were skeptical about him. But so like when he flopped out in the NFL, you could use those. But with baseball, I mean, I think most of the people think that he wouldn't make it. So unless he got to the major leagues and hit 30 home runs, I didn't really have much material.
It's fantasy camp for him. This is no different than
I love Tebow. So.
This is no different. This is no different than when Garth Brooks was in Mets spring training camp.
Yeah, but the thing is though, like, who were all the experts? There were a lot of experts who were saying that they'd rather have Tebow than, like, I don't know, some like legit quarterbacks. I think back in the day, like back in like 2012, after Tebow time 2011, I feel like a lot of
felt the Dolphins should have given him a try.
He doesn't have an NFL arm. He never
His throwing motion was not good.
I'm a diehard UF fan. I mean, I'm a graduate from University of Florida, and I love Tebow, and I loved him when he was at UF. But I think Tebow was a lot of Tebow's success at UF was a product of you know, he came in and he kind of revolutionized that type of, you know, playing quarterback that way.
Well, he had a killer tight end.
Oh yeah, he did. I mean. But he revolutionized the quarterback playing quarterback that way, and you know, there wasn't really that type of quarterback who was just like a big guy who could run, and he could kind of make things up for himself. And then Cam Newton came in 2010 and even did it better. And now there's just so many of them. I think like now, if Tim Tebow played in college football now, he wouldn't be as good. I mean, I just think it's changed so much. I mean, he kind of came in and just, it was just totally different at that time. He came in when no one else really knew how to defend it.
He was perfect. Yeah, he was perfect for that system too. And like the players around him and with Urban Meyer. And Urban Meyer helped him succeed. You know, that offense was perfect for his skill set. They tailored to his skill set, you know.
Yeah,
they didn't try and make him be like this pocket pass, and he was a decent passer in college, but they didn't try and make him be like this traditional quarterback. They used him to his strengths, which is what you need to do. You know, it's what good coaches do, and that's what Florida definitely had. Is there, speaking of Cam Newton though, was there ever any like thought, do Florida fans think about this, like what if Cam Newton stayed at Florida, like, and started?
I mean, 2010 he was amazing, so but at the time when we got Cam Newton, he was just a backup. But that was like right in the middle of Tebow being really good. I mean, he won the Heisman in 2007. That was Cam Newton's freshman year. In 2008, UF won the national championship.
Yep.
That was Newton's sophomore year. Newton got kicked out of school, but. Urban Meyer.
Didn't he steal like a laptop or something like that?
Yeah, he stole a laptop computer that threw it out the window. But but Newton, it was clearly obvious that Urban Meyer made a miscalculation about Newton, because he truly didn't believe that Newton was going to be as great as Newton turned out to be. Because if he did, he would never have kicked him out of school.
No, and
because Urban is the king of second and third chances, especially with players who are great. And he would never have just let Newton walk.
Yeah, I mean, it just wouldn't have happened.
And then we the next season, mm-hmm. Well, 2009, we had Tebow again, and we went 13-1, but we didn't make the national championship. But 2010, we had a quarterback named John Brantley who just wasn't – he wasn't the type of quarterback that UF really fit the UF system, and he wasn't even all that good. Yep. And that's who Urban truly believed was going to be the quarterback, and we'd be fine without someone like Newton. But he hadn't played at all. And when he threw, it looked like he was just like he didn't have any touch. He was raw. He just like could throw the ball. Like he throw it like if the player was 2 feet away, he'd throw it like 100 miles an hour.
Isn't it wild that Cam Newton got kicked off of Florida, but Aaron Hernandez somehow didn't?
Well, yeah, Aaron Hernandez. Yeah, I mean, well, Aaron Hernandez was an important piece of the team. So
he was amazing
at that time. So it was like, you know, they kind of swept his actions under the rug. I mean, he got suspended a couple times, and it was pretty obvious it was because he was smoking weed. But I think all that other stuff that came out when he was at UF, that was not public at the time.
Well, the fact that when he was 17, like his first like week at Florida, and he ruptured that bar manager's
ear.
As a 17-year-old, he shot at some guys in a car. It came out. Did you guys watch the documentary?
That obviously the shooting stuff obviously was not made public. If that was made public, he wouldn't have been on the team.
No.
They had to kick him off the team. I don't even know what was. I didn't watch the documentary, but did the coaches know about the shooting, or is that something that was like?
No, that was something that came
out. Because like I don't think he would have been on the team if that was the case. Then he would have got booted.
Even Urban Meyer wouldn't turn a cheek on that one.
That was actually an unsolved crime.
He shot at anybody, then there's no chance that he would have remained on the team.
the thing is, I highly recommend you watch that documentary, the three parts on Netflix. It's really really good, and it just reminds you too of like how good he really was. Like he was he was such a good player, and like Patriots, like
perfect.
He had a tight end body. He was a tight end, size of a tight end, with wide receiver speed and athleticism and hands. Like he was unstoppable. He was a mismatch to anybody.
The UF used to have this play where he'd come off the end and we'd do the shovel pass to him.
Yep.
The UF ran it about 600 times that season in 2008. And even in 2009, but 2008 we ran it the most. We ran it a couple times in the national championship game against Oklahoma.
That play was
unstoppable.
When did you graduate from Florida?
2003,
okay. All right. Did you go to any of the games during that era, though, with Tebow and Urban Meyer?
I went to one game, and I never really went back to Gainesville too much, but I went to one game at Kentucky. My dad, we went to Lexington. It was 2009. We crushed them.
Kentucky back then was just terrible.
Tebow got a huge – it was real serious. Tebow got a concussion that game. He got clobbered by both sides, and it was really – concerning about whether he was going to play in the next few weeks. He did, but he got a huge concussion that game. He was on the floor for a while. We crushed him that game. I mean, I'm pretty sure Aaron Hernandez had a touchdown that game.
There weren't many games he didn't.
We had a block punt touchdown. We had a guy named Chris Rainey who would block these punts, and he was a speedster.
I remember him.
He called up his girlfriend and told her it's time to die in 2010. He got four games for it. Now he would be off the team.
Wait, what? What did he do?
He called up his girlfriend. He didn't lie. He got into a fight with her. He said, time to die. But he didn't actually do anything. But
he just threatened her.
He threatened her. He said that. And he got four games.
He was our
best player, one of our best players. But if it was now,
he'd be done.
He'd be off the team.
That's terroristic threat. I see people go to jail for terroristic threats.
It was 10 years ago. It wasn't the same.
Times were different back then. Even though it wasn't that, doesn't seem like that long ago.
Well, it wasn't that long ago, but
times are different.
Yeah. Ray Rice punching out his wife, girlfriend in the elevator changed everything.
It changed everything. But, you know, Ray Rice's situation only got, you know, because we saw the video. I mean, he got suspended for two games before.
That's because Roger Goodell's an idiot.
Yeah, you know? but without the video, I mean,
without the video, and I'm starting to think. I'm starting to think it's a freezing cold take that Roger Goodell thinks that he's going to get a CBA passed.
Oh, yeah.
One of the Pouncey twins went off about that today, saying, fuck the new CBA, and it's bullshit.
Aaron Rodgers came out against it. Russell Wilson's come out against it. Yeah. I don't think this thing is going to pass. I heard the latest thing is that it's going to be a 17-week season, no bye weeks.
No, just one. They wanted two. If they're doing 17 games, they want two bye weeks like they did in 93, Frank. But
the bye week could be disappearing.
They screwed it up. There's no way. It's just they wanted two. The players want two if that's going to be a 17 game.
The players should get two. Why not?
They should just keep it the way it is. The league's fine. Like, just keep it.
Well, yeah, that too. But Roger Goodell's a fucking moron.
Like playoffs, if you add another playoff team, like playoffs, like it means something to make the playoffs. Like,
I wouldn't mind them adding eight. I wouldn't mind them going to eight teams in the playoffs. So that doesn't bother me. It's like baseball is all of a sudden going to go to seven.
No, I don't want teams under 500 in the playoffs. That's what's going to start happening. It's not going to happen every year.
The NFL is such a tough schedule.
But I mean, like, these rich players, like the top of the line players, like J.J. Watt and Russell Wilson, like, who gives a fuck what they think about the stupid CBA? Because they're set. So I mean, like, what? It really matters what the lower tier players think, and those are the guys who are going to really, really get affected by it. Do they need it?
I'm shocked.
The question is, do they need it?
Even advance the 17 games. You know? Yeah.
But guys like Russell Wilson, J.J. Watt, I mean, they're set.
It does not matter.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
J.J. Watt's going to be out of the league in a year.
If there's a work stoppage, it's the lower tier players who can get fucked. Yeah. So it's really there. It's their negotiation, weighing the balances for them.
That's 100% true. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, cool, you know, Russell Wilson, J.J. Watt, but, you know.
I think this doesn't pass.
Somebody wrote, and I think I bookmarked it because it's soon. Let's see. Someone wrote that there's no way it doesn't pass. There's no way on God's green earth that this will not pass. Mike Golic on Golic and Wingo this morning.
Yeah, the thing is, like, everyone, all the experts weigh in and everyone gives their own opinion. And then it's, you know, it's taken as if it's like, oh, like, this is going to, like, you know, it kind of shifts the public, I guess, opinion or like of like what's going to happen. Like, we really don't know. You know, early on, the perception was that it was going to be passed easily. Now, all, you know, a bunch of players are speaking out, and then there was some disagreements. And then the players' union might not like it because they want this and they want that. And, you know, it's a slippery slope. And like, I kind of just hope that I hope they come up with something, but I hope it's not. I hope it's not an extended playoff. Like, all right, yeah, maybe 17 games and one or two bye weeks, whatever. But, like, I don't want the seven playoff teams. I think that's kind of stupid.
Yeah. I don't know. The 17 playoff thing, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like the set. I'd rather have eight playoff teams than seven.
Why is that? Right.
Because I think the NFL is such a battle that there's nothing that you're giving the home field advantage team just too much of an advantage if you let them get the only bye too.
Well, yeah, that's true. You can keep the two first round byes. That's right.
So to me, if you go eight, then you just have one hell of a 4-week tournament.
Yeah, no, I agree. Now, I wanted to shift over to talking about the NFL draft. Obviously, we have the combine coming up this week. This week is the media, and then the combine, I believe, is this weekend. But you both are Dolphins fans. Good news today that Tua got a very good, I guess, status on his recovery from his hip injury. Do you guys want Tua to be the Dolphins' next quarterback? Because that seems pretty realistic at this point.
Yes, I would take him.
Sure. Yeah.
When I see Justin Herbert, I just keep having this song in my head. H hey double R I N G T O N. He's just like Joey Harrington.
Another Dolphin, former Dolphin quarterback.
Briefly,
yeah.
I mean, Joey Harrington was truly supposed to be the savior of the Detroit Lions franchise. He was supposed to be Joey Heisman.
And he busted. Him and David Carr in back-to-back years were two big busts.
I mean, Joey Harrington was supposed to... everyone thought Joey Harrington was going to be the next big thing. He was supposed to be the savior of the Detroit Lions franchise. And I see Justin Herbert. I just think Joey Harrington.
And Joey Heisman. Harrington. Yeah, he didn't turn out to be what he was supposed to be. But he was the Dolphins quarterback. Was it the second year? Yeah, the second year under Nick Saban. When Culpepper, flamed out.
Yep.
Games.
He came into Miami as a backup and started maybe one or two games, if I recall right.
He started most of that season after Culpepper flamed out.
Another freezing cold take would be when Nick Saban chose Culpepper over Drew Brees.
Yeah, Saban always talks about how he wanted Brees, but the Dolphins doctors didn't want him. He loves to use that excuse.
He takes it to the grave. He's full of shit.
Yeah. I'd kind of believe that, though, because a lot of teams were cautious about Brees because of the shoulder.
But the thing people forget about Culpepper is he also tore his PCL.
Yeah.
And it seems that players that sell their PCL never recover.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. The PCL is a deadly injury. You remember Jake Ballard, the Giants tight end, in the last Super Bowl they won? Jake Ballard tore his PCL.
You got the MCL, which is like that's the fastest to get over. The ACL, of course, that's always devastating. But when you tear the PCL, I mean...
You guys...
The first person who actually looked good after tearing his PCL is Bridgewater, who had a decent year when he came in this year. But he was out for two full years.
He almost lost his leg. But so do you guys, the Dolphins now, yes, if Tua goes to the Dolphins, he's a health risk, but, because he's an injury-prone player, he's, kind of brittle, but he is a hell of a player. He would be a franchise-altering player if he can stay healthy. The thing is now they might have to worry a little bit. The Redskins have the number two pick, and Ron Rivera, not committing to Dwayne Haskins, who was pretty abysmal last year, did not show anything.
There is no way the Redskins are going to pass up Chase Young.
I don't know that, though, Frank, because...
There is no... That is why the Redskins... If the Redskins pass on Chase Young...
They're not passing on Chase Young. The whole draft is just a big
smoke
screen.
And draft Tua, who... Let me put it this way. The Redskins are such a fucked for franchise that Tua will go down with that ship.
But guess what also? The Lions and the Giants at 3 and 4 are both fielding trade offers. So,
I think the Dolphins would be more than willing to go up.
They might have to. That's the thing. And the Dolphins have the firepower, too.
I think the Dolphins are more than willing to trade up if necessary.
They have 3 first-round picks.
And I wouldn't even be shocked if they trade up and get Burrow.
I don't see it happening. I don't think the Bengals are going to miss out on the chance of getting Burrow. And, Burrow debunked the rumor going around that he didn't want to play for Cincinnati, and he said he came out and completely, he crushed that narrative. So respect to him for doing that.
Which sucks.
He crushed it, but he didn't
Still doesn't seem like he wants to play for them.
I mean, who the hell would want to go to Cincinnati? Yeah, I know,
like, the Cincinnati Bengals are the Cincinnati Bengals make the Wilpons look like the big spenders.
Yeah, but at least like if you're playing for the Wilpons, you're at least in New York. You're not in Cincinnati. The thing is with Burrow that people aren't talking about, he'll be joining a bunch of playmakers on offense and Joe Mixon and John Ross and Tyler Boyd. Like they need to improve their line, but Joe Burrow with those playmakers, like it's not the worst thing in the world. Like they're probably going to be good in a couple of years if Burrow pans out.
Now, what's going to be interesting is you have all these free agent quarterbacks that's just going to really throw things into a wild frenzy, I think.
I think Philip Rivers goes to the Colts, and I think that Teddy Bridgewater goes to the Chargers. Those are my own predictions.
Everyone's talking about Philip Rivers.
Why would the Colts sign that jackass?
Could you see the Buccaneers signing one of those two guys? I think they should over Jameis.
I think the Bucks. I think the Bucks. It's gonna be like the last guy, the last girl at the date. I think Jameis Winston's gonna realize that nobody's gonna pay him $30 million to throw 30 interceptions. I think the Buccaneers are gonna look and see his raw talent that he did throw 30 touchdowns, and the two of them are gonna look at each other and go, "Well, we might as well," and he'll stay in Tampa.
Well, Squints McGee finally got LASIK eye surgery. We'll see if it makes a difference. I can't.
That'd be crazy. That'd be crazy if he was really good after the eye surgery.
I mean, if you take away those dirty interceptions, he had a great year.
I cannot believe that they let him go this long when he was he's known for squinting. Like,
yeah, he's got those faces.
How you invest this much money in a guy and such a high pick, you don't think to get his eyes checked and see if he needs contacts or LASIK surgery? Like, you got to be kidding me.
How about at least wearing the glasses like Bob Greasy did at the end of his career?
Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe it'll make a difference, but I don't know. I see Jameis just as someone great arm, like not a good decision maker, and honestly, like that's not really something that gets better as you go along. So,
but you know, he actually had a good year. Yeah, he showed signs this year under Bruce Arians.
So he was a good fantasy quarterback. He threw for a lot of yards. He had two of the biggest deep threats in the league in Godwin and Evans. He just threw it up there. He was good. He threw some good passes, but then he'd go and he'd throw a pick six on a curl route to where the DB's standing right in the zone right in front of him or jumps it right in front of him and doesn't see the defender and consistently did that. He was missed for pick six.
I just think he stays in Tampa.
Yeah, he probably does.
He probably does. They're in conference.
They'll franchise him for this year, maybe.
Yeah.
You know, they're getting the uniforms, I heard.
Yeah.
They should go to the creamsicle full-time.
They're not going. I don't think they're going back to that.
No, they won't. They won't. They'll only wear it as an alternate.
I hear the logo is just going to be a giant TB on each side of the helmet. So they because it seems like every team that's changed uniforms lately has gone to, like, generic-looking, awful-looking uniforms, like the Jets. The Jets actually look like a high school team, if you ask me.
They look like Power Rangers.
I really hate the Jets uniforms. I mean, all it is Jets with a football underneath their helmet. That is something that you see, like, on Comac High.
But it's because they were trying to go back to the retro helmet from the 80s and 90s. That's why.
That logo sucked!
Yeah, but that's like the new thing. Like they're trying to go vintage, and I think they should go back.
They went vintage to the 60s, and that one uniform is not bad.
They should go back to their regular uniforms. This was like ugly this year.
The Joe Namath uniform. Where did Joe Namath uniform?
Frank,
not the Kenny O'Brien uniform.
No, I agree. I agree. That should be an alternate, like once in a while being worn. Do you guys like
Now, here's one thing I don't understand. The NFL has this thing now with the helmet policy, which of course the NCAA goes, yeah, fuck that. The Oregon Ducks, 11 weeks, 11 helmets.
Oh, God.
Yeah, Oregon has so many helmets.
I wanted to ask.
The Oregon literally wears a different uniform every week.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, that's odd. I wanted to ask Fred about this, since I'm sure he's, you know, probably seen a million takes sent his way about this in the past year. But Daniel Jones.
No, yeah. It would be good if he turned out to be really good.
I mean, like, this year he shattered all expectations by a lot. And
we're not ready to.
No, because he could go out and be like Baker this year and take 10 steps back.
It's too early for him to validate
those takes and everything last year, just because everyone didn't do their homework about him and didn't know. And guys like Todd McShay, who are still doubling down because they were wrong about him.
I mean, the Cleveland Browns, there's a franchise. Greg Williams had a good year as an interim coach. Nah, let's let him go. We'll bring in Freddie Kitchen. Oh, and by the way, let's bring a diva into our team with our quarterback, who is just a total arrogant asshole, and that's totally gonna work.
Well, what about John Dorsey being anointed like GM of the year after last offseason? He was the fastest guy at rebuilding and turning around the Browns, and now he's out of a job. Like, he traded one of the Browns' best offensive linemen in Kevin Zeitler to the Giants for Olivier Vernon, often injured and overpaid, and they already cut him.
That's why the Cleveland Browns are the Cleveland Browns. I mean, the Cleveland Browns logo should be Lucy pulling the football away from Charlie Brown.
So, yeah. Fred, with your account, like, when you see teams like getting all the hype, like the Browns were last year, is it just in the back of your mind, like, man, I hope this team flops. Like, that's going to be fun for me. Like,
I don't really think that way anymore, because there's usually enough flops to go around by the end of the year. But like, Cleveland was especially notable at the beginning of the year. As you look for those unproven hype teams,
That's Cleveland.
They haven't actually proved anything, but they're really hyped. That really or the overly criticized player or team, like Daniel Jones was. Like, are you talking about Daniel Jones? Daniel Jones was piled on so much for a player who was still a good prospect. So you keep that in mind, because there's always a chance he could be really good. And even with Cleveland Browns, they were given so much hype.
Oh, yeah.
And they
had an unproven head coach who was definitely not ready.
Getting Odell Beckham helped a lot. So with the hype. So once they got Beckham, the hype was even more inflated, and it was great. There was a substantial amount of stuff. So you think to yourself, yeah, I'm going to keep my eye on this one for sure. There's some people who are they're very sensitive, very. Take sensitive people are very sensitive about them, so you have to watch out for how quickly they want you to post the stuff to prove people wrong. Like, I was very tentative about Lamar Jackson. I had to wait till a little bit longer in the year, because I mean, this guy, people are so sensitive about him. So anybody who's a Lamar Jackson defender,
I actually thought he was going to be garbage.
Yeah. So those
what a
people,
surprise!
So the people who love Lamar Jackson, like Lamar Jackson throws it like in the first game of the year against the Dolphins. So, but he played amazing. And but like if Lamar Jackson throws like a good pass, like the first play of the game, I'll get like 30 tweets. So post this about Lamar Jackson. He's gotta be back. You got to wait a little bit.
That must be a challenge for you too.
Yeah. With Baker is one of them too. By the end of the year, everyone's, you got to post this stuff about Baker, but it was still, you know, they still hadn't made the playoffs yet. They weren't. He showed a lot of promise. Daniel Jones still up and down for a rookie.
Some of the throws he made and some of the throws he made under pressure with the accuracy and the poise.
Yeah, like, I mean, he showed promise, but like everyone's posting all this stuff about Daniel Jones. Post this, post that. Come on, you got to do a little bit more than that. I get it.
Just his attitude and his demeanor and talent level for this franchise in the city, like his attitude and poise are like perfect.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like you certainly, with a guy like Daniel Jones, you're happy with the year he had, but he's still no up one and down.
Yeah, yeah. The fumbles are a big problem. That's what needs to be cleaned up. As a passer, he's a very polished passer, and that's because he played under Cutcliffe for years. So he basically was running a pro-style offense for 5 years. He had a head start on all the other young QBs, and. Yep. Pat Shurmur was a lousy head coach, but I do give him credit for the work he did with Jones. But he put Jones in some horrible situations. He, on first downs, he would have Jones often just do straight dropbacks with a horrible left tackle, horrible pass blocking, and then he would have them run on second down. Everyone would know it was coming, and then he'd have them in a bunch of third and long situations. Like,
Pat Shurmur, there's a guy that if anyone ever hires him again, anyone that even thinks about hiring him as head coach should be fired.
He's an offensive coordinator. He's proven that. He's a successful offensive coordinator, and he'll never be a good head coach. I think
he was a train wreck.
If you don't learn from your mistakes, you'll never pan out, and that's exactly Pat Shurmur. I knew this year, seeing him coach the beginning of the year, I said, wow, he hasn't learned anything since last year. He's not going to make it. He's not the guy to turn this team around. And now I'm a Dave Gettleman defender. Now, you probably have a ton of stuff. He's gotten – talk about poured on. He's gotten
I know what I'm doing.
A lot of heat because of that attitude, because of the attitude he has. But he's proven that he can draft. And if another good draft and they have a good free agency class, this team might be at least – maybe competing for a wild card spot. If this team turns around under him,
he's made some bad moves.
But he's done more good than bad. That's a lot of people don't want to admit that. But he's done more good than bad.
Yeah,
I think the best move he made was the Odell Beckham trade.
Odell Beckham, Landon Collins, letting him go. Olivier Vernon, trading him for Kevin Zeitler. The thing is, why are all these teams, why have they been consistently good? The Seahawks, the Patriots, the Packers, all these teams, it's because they've been able to draft good. The Giants were terrible at drafting under Jerry Reese for like 10 years, had him keep his job because they won 2 Super Bowls, and then, the cupboard was bare. So now Gettleman's back. Gettleman's had 2 good drafts his first 2 years, and he's also had to, rip a lot of drywall out and get rid of a lot of the bad contracts and draft picks they had, whatever. I just think that they're headed in the right direction. Like, between picks 95 and 171 last year, they drafted 4 starters. That's, that's pretty impressive. Also, he's also been good at getting undrafted free agents, too. Rookies who've gone undrafted, becoming impact starters, like guys like Caden Smith. And then also finding Daniel Jones, like drafting Daniel Jones when no one else would have. Like, I just think that they're headed in the right direction. I don't know if they are going to turn around under him, but, that's the other thing, too, I wanted to ask you. Like, Joe Judge looks like he's, you got to be a little excited about Joe Judge, from what he's said and the way he sounded. He's also a Belichick and Saban guy. So,
the coaches' stuff is great. There's always positive stuff about the coaches. I remember when McAdoo was hired, there was great stuff about
him. Well, McAdoo won 11 games in his first year.
Oh, yeah, it was even playoffs. Better, yeah.
Yeah, but then McAdoo, the problem was, it was his – like, he lost the locker room. And also,
He totally mishandled the Eli Manning situation.
Yeah, and then also he didn't learn from his mistakes either, that the Giants were losing games because – he was going for it in the second quarter on 4th and goal instead of taking the 3 points, and they wind up losing later in the game on a field goal or by.
And he just had no control over Beckham.
Yeah,
he let Odell Beckham. He let Odell Beckham tell him what to do.
Yeah. I mean, McAdoo was. Yeah, I mean, the Giants fans are starting to get to that point where they're really just, you know, anything that happens, it's positive, they're going to jump on it. You know, Mac has a good year.
I don't know. The Giants fans are pretty fed up. I mean, they're impatient. Yeah. And, you know, there's a lot of fighting between the fan base. And a lot of people don't believe in Gettleman. They don't believe in what they have. But, I mean, people are excited about the coaching staff. I mean, they did not have a competent coaching staff. They haven't had a competent coaching staff since Tom Coughlin got scapegoated. So, you know, you got to hope that Joe Judge is the guy. And you got to hope that Jason Garrett does well as an offensive coordinator. But, you know, you just never know. But, you know, coaching makes a big difference in football, and we learned that. Good coaches play to their personnel, like what we were talking about earlier in this show. Urban Meyer and Florida, what they did with Tebow and all the other guys they had. Like, you play to the strengths of your personnel. You don't try and fit square pegs into round holes. And that's what this coaching staff has preached since they came in a month ago. So, you just got to, you know, you obviously want to see it happen, but, you know, you got to be at least a little optimistic.
Yeah.
So, I did, switching topics, I did want to bring up to you guys, I listened to the episode where Fred appeared on Allow Me to Be Frank, the original version with Frank and his old co-host before I was in the picture, but Fred was on and you guys were doing the show on Monday night during Sam Darnold's debut against the Detroit Lions in week one of the 2018 NFL season.
He looked great that night.
Darnold,
like, he threw an interception like the first play of the game. he threw like a throw across his body. It was a pick six. It was his first pass, I think. And then they proceed, but he got trashed. He was like an ebb and flow on that. And then he proceeded to dominate the rest of the game. So he looked great. I mean, he got a lot of praise that night.
Yep.
I think Sam Darnold and people that I talk about that I pronounce Sam Darnold the same as Travis Darno. I guess Frank, that's just how his name sounds.
No, Frank, you did. You called him Darnold there, but I was listening to that show and you were calling him Sam Darno the whole time as if it was Travis Darno.
Well, that's just the way I pronounce his name.
You sound like Mike Francesa. But speaking of praise of Darnold in that show, Fred, you had a freezing cold take when you said at the time, you said, and I quote, because I wrote this down in the script as soon as I heard it, quote unquote, I'm buying more into Sam Darnold than I am Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, I probably got hit with the recency bias, but yeah, Pat Mahomes, because Mahomes is one of those guys who's getting promoted so much in the offseason. Obviously it was, their people were spot on
about all the hype, but it was just like something.
Most of those guys are doomed when they get hyped that much without you barely even ever seeing them.
Yeah, the only I mean,
concern about Holmes was his accuracy. Yes, everyone knew he had the arm.
Yeah, well, the thing is, like, with guys like Mahomes, it's like kind of when, as soon as they step on the field, like, some guys just have it. Like, a lot of guys take time to develop. Some guys just have it and, like, are polished as passers and, like, that's why I'm high on Daniel Jones. Like, Daniel Jones definitely still has a lot more to prove, but he's polished. And, like, Mahomes was polished. Mahomes is on a whole nother level, though. He's the best quarterback in the league, and he was tremendous as soon
as. My prediction next year for Sam Darnold is a terrible season and then a total implosion for Adam Gase.
Do they still have Adam Gase? Oh, they kept him?
Yeah.
They kept him. Yes, the Jets are stupid. The Jets haven't learned.
Honestly, if I think that Gase, if they get out struggling, like say they're like 0-2, like 1-3, Gase is gonna be on the hot seat.
I can see Adam Gase with the Jets. I can see the Jets 1-6 and firing Adam Gase in October.
Best case scenario is
almost certainly firing with 1-6.
Yeah, best case scenario is the Jets wind up firing Adam Gase in the first half of the season. Greg Williams takes over as interim head coach and, you know, does what he did in Cleveland, and hopefully the Jets smarten up and hire him this time.
Nope! And the New York Jets head coach is Freddie Kitchens.
Freddie Kitchens on the Giants staff right now, but...
He's back to, like, his role as a position coach.
Yeah.
It's almost like when you hear the Jets move, it's almost like you hear this...
Boom! I remember Freddie Kitchens was the quarterback for Alabama in 1996 SEC championship game against the Gators. He played really well, and they almost beat us. We won and we ended up winning the national championship.
Yep, I remember that. Yeah. Well, I was born in 96, but I don't remember that in person, but I know.
Yeah, he came out pretty highly regarded. Freddie Kitchens, in high school, he played for Patrick Nicks. Dad was the head coach, and Freddie Kitchens was the quarterback after Patrick Nicks. Patrick Nicks went to Auburn, and Freddie Kitchens went to Alabama a year after, and then Auburn's quarterback now is Patrick Nicks' son, Bo.
Bo Nicks, that's right.
Yeah.
Bo Nicks, I don't know if it's going to be this year or next year. He's going to take Auburn to a national championship.
I don't know. Why is everyone so obsessed with Bo Nicks?
He's pretty good.
He was so inaccurate. He completely lost that game against Georgia. I mean, like,
He was a freshman, though.
Against UF, he was atrocious.
Yeah.
Atrocious.
Oh, yeah. I know a lot of people who bet big money on that game, too. And no way Auburn was losing. Auburn was really hot, and the Gators beat them.
Like I said, I think Bo Nicks takes Auburn to a national championship in the next 2 years.
Frank's the biggest mush, though. So sorry to the Auburn Tigers and the War Eagle Nation, but Frank just put the mush on you.
I don't see it, though.
What, Fred? What are your favorite Frank takes? Like your favorite?
No, Frank. Well, you know, when he comes to the Mets, he's always negative on purpose. It's like it's not. I don't think it counts. Like I don't remember, but I posted a lot of this. He may have some good hockey ones.
The hockey. We are the ones. We are the ones. The Devils. Devils with the all the hype.
I don't watch hockey, so I only watch the playoffs.
And you just knew the whole season was going to go down to tubes, and boy, it's gone down to tubes. The only thing that's been a bigger disaster than the Devils this year on ice was the Titanic. and you go to the games, and they have this hype video. Dum ba dum ba dum ba dum. We are the ones who never miss a shot. No, you're the ones who don't take a shot. We are the ones who honor the legacy. No, you're the ones who have destroyed the legacy.
Frank mushed the Devils, though, because we were on this podcast over the summer, and we were excited. Jack Hughes, and they brought in P.K. Subban and all these guys. And from the get-go of the season, Frank was screaming to fire Hines.
P.K. Subban has been an utter, unmitigated, total, awful, atrocious, train wreck disaster.
For who?
For the Devils.
He's on the Devils now?
Yeah, he was like the best defenseman in the NHL when he was on the Predators, and they went to the Stanley Cup and all this shit, and now he's washed up and, you know, he's on the Devils.
Yeah, I mean, he's like minus 17.
He's a pretty boy, that's why. He only cares about his image. He's like a very, very smooth talker.
He's marrying Lindsay Vaughn. Did that cause something there, Arthur? Did it cause him to crumble?
Well, it's like when Tony Romo was dating Jessica Simpson, and everyone blamed her when he choked.
I remember when P.K. Subban's like in 2016, 2017. It was big. He was on Nashville. He was a big time player.
That's when they went to the Cup.
The Devils expected that player, and he has been a total disaster, a dumpster fire.
Yep. So if I say it's been great. If someone posts. If I can find someone say amazing signing, PK Subban, I can retweet that now.
I'll look for that.
If I retweeted that now, would that be would anybody contest it?
It will just highlight just how what a train wreck the Devil season's been.
Frank won't contest it. No, but I wanted to talk to you about another, you know, notorious mush. In Mike Francesa.
No, yeah, he's funny. I like
this Tyson Fury? No, shot at all.
Yeah,
my favorite thing about Mike Francesa is this. I mean, he says all these ridiculous things. He seems completely out of touch now. Back in the day, I'm sure. I mean, I never listened to him back in the day because I never lived in New York, but I'm sure he was a lot better, and he had a lot. But now he says all these stupid things, contradicts himself all the time. But people always rip on guys like Cowherd or Bayless, Stephen A. Those guys are conscientiously in their mind, they're entertainers. So when they say things, they're saying things in the promotion of their show.
It's
they're
a
saying
stick.
Things for the good of their show, to be interesting, and it's part of more of like a character that they play. For Francesa is serious about everything he says.
Mike Francesa, and
everything he does.
That's why he got the name Sports Pope. Yeah, whatever he says, like the Lord himself.
There's no thought process behind like I'm saying this to create an interest. He's just serious about everything he says. So it's more genuine of hilarity about the things that he does, as opposed to like a guy like Cowherd, where I mean, you know that he's putting on a show.
I'll never forget a freezing cold take, Super Bowl 37. And Anthony Carter came on the Mike and the Mad Dog show and said that the Buccaneers are going to win the Super Bowl. It's going to be a blowout.
Oh.
And Mike Francesa says, "What are you talking about?" He goes, "The Raiders are better, superior in every way to the Tampa. Tampa doesn't have a shot." And then Carter brought up, he says, that the Raiders didn't change their playbook. And the Buccaneers are gonna—it's gonna kill him. He goes, "What are you talking about? They didn't change the playbook. Bill Callahan's a smarter coach than that, not to change the playbook."
Didn't the Raiders center like run off to Mexico right before the Super Bowl or something?
Yes.
What the hell was that about?
He had like an anxiety.
Oh, what was that? Barrett Robbins, right?
He had an anxiety attack, so he went off to Mexico. Where the Super Bowl was in San Diego that year, so he went across the border to Tijuana.
Jesus. So Frank mentioned it briefly, but I want to talk a little bit with you guys about the fight between Deontay Wilder and Tyson Fury. Obviously, you mentioned guys like Skip Bayless and Stephen A. Smith and Mike Francesa. Of course, all of them thought that it was going to be a Wilder KO, and it was actually the complete opposite.
And Wilder's blaming his costume.
Boxing is with the takes in boxing. It's all about, unless you're like within the inner circle of boxing or you follow boxing and you're really knowledgeable on how that works, about what the fighters do and everything. It's all about hype. People don't know anything about boxing. I mean, people, and especially these shows, are guys like Francesa, Skip. They don't know who's going to win that fight. They just see the hype. They hear about the hype. They watch them, like the last fight where like Wilder punched a guy out. And they just say it. They don't really have any rhyme or reason why. It's all about the hype that's like presented to them. And that's what I think a lot would happen with this fight. Everyone was hyping up the Wilder guy. But probably if you looked at it from, I don't study boxing, but if you looked at it from a perspective, more rational perspective, and like kind of like actually thought about it, probably wasn't as easy as it seemed.
They didn't buy into Tyson Fury. That's what it was.
Yeah.
He also had didn't he have 40 pounds on Wilder? I believe he did. Like, that's got to mean something, And it was just he, at least in that last round, he beat the living shit out of him. Like that picture of Wilder's lip and his eyes coming out after getting punched, that was nuts. And they were complaining that his corner threw the towel. He was not, and they arguably probably should have thrown the towel earlier than they did.
Wilder was about to get hurt, seriously hurt. That was the right thing to do.
And it was the in Rocky IV with Ivan Drago standing in the ring over Apollo Creed. If he dies, he dies. Jesus, yeah. So
he dies, he dies.
Yep. So well, we're
it looks like guys, I'm gonna have to go to sleep soon. So
yeah.
We're at the end anyway, I would say.
That was our final note and topic we had to cover. So, Fred, can't thank you enough for being on with us.
Yeah, it's always great. It's going to be interesting to see what freezing takes they take this year. With my luck, Sam Adam Gase will be coach of the year and holding the fucking Lombardi Trophy.
Well, and I also
had a lot of people. That would be you wouldn't be the only one. Myself yes. too. I would be. You wouldn't be if Gase was holding that Lombardi Trophy. I'd have a field day.
And of course the freezing cold take would be down in hell as Satan is digging himself out of his house.
I hope you have one for Edwin Diaz. Hopefully Edwin Diaz comes out and is believer of the year this year. And Frank,
Edwin Diaz will be the way he looks today. It tells me he'll be either in Syracuse at the end of April or traded for cash.
A Mets World Series would be great for me.
Yeah, for all of us, like we need it, so. Frank, Fred, thanks again, and Frank, take us out on a little song, please.
Let me see what I can sing. Oh, I don't feel like playing today. I want to sit out. My name is Kyrie, and I have the gout. Oh, my pinky is hurt. I got thumbs from playing the video games, but I don't want to play tonight.
Thanks again. we'll see you next week. Thanks again for listening.
All right, take care.
I hate Nicky Cowboy! He's smiling! He wasn't smiling before! He's smiling! Really wants to go out there and go! I want to pay you like I should!